You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. I hope this podcast finds you well. I've got a good week of golfing action coming up. Dave Kellner in the company of Dave Tindall to talk you through the action. We've got the BMW PGA Championship on the European Tour and the Fort Worth Invitational on the PGA Tour, more commonly known as the event in Colonial in Texas. Dave Tindall, welcome along, sir.
Hello, Dave. Yeah, looking forward to this week. As you say, it's a biggie, isn't it? Especially the Volvo.
I was saying, yeah, the Volvo, precisely. I was saying after the, or before we came on to do the podcast, that away from the major championships, this is my favourite golf betting week of the season.
That's some claim.
Yeah, I think it's one of those weeks where if you want to do your like 5x5 cross doubles, I think it's a good week for that. And we've got two golf courses that I think I've not been to Wentworth before, I've not been to Colonial before, but they are transmitted through the television and they look like very, very solid golf courses. You have been to Wentworth before, Dave.
Yeah, I've been to Wentworth a couple of times. You do really get the feeling that you are at kind of HQ and this is the flagship event, and it just, you can smell the money, Dave. It's just a lot. Who's there? All the pro-am, we get all the famous footballers and everyone playing there. So it really is a sort of special week. You do feel like, yeah, this is one where, you know, all the big guns. It's just a shame maybe some Americans don't come over and play it.
Yeah, and looking through the list of players that have decided to take up the decided to arrive at Wentworth this week, it's disappointing maybe that Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson and John Rahm, three of the biggest European Tour members, aren't in attendance. The field is still strong, as it always is, for the flagship event on the European Tour, but three big names missing.
Yeah, I'm not sure why Rose isn't there, because he's
because
says how brilliant it is.
Yeah, it's weird. He's,
is he thinking prep for US Open?
No, he's come out and said that because the PGA Tour, the mandate on the PGA Tour is that you've got to include an event that you've never played before.
So he's picked this one.
This is the one that fit into his schedule, whereas none of the others did, apparently. You're sceptical about that excuse. That's what he's...
I think he should make compromises to play at Wentworth, surely.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I'm not sure. I'm not the man behind Justin Rose's schedule. So I presume that there is a reason why it's this week and not another week season.
Yeah, I suppose from here on in, you're pretty much looking at majors every month, aren't you? June, July and August. Mm. You're kind of building it around that. So these top-end players... You know, Rose isn't going to start playing the John Deere, is he, the week before the Open?
No.
So maybe we're being flippant. Maybe it's harder than you think to fit another one in.
Yeah, possibly so.
Still, I'm not having it.
I'm aware that we've not spoken about last week. Should we not speak about last week, or do you want to do a quick word on last week, or no word on last week?
Well, about the course, I thought the course... I liked the course last week, Trinity Forest.
Yeah, I think the... More the setup was wrong rather than the course being a poor one.
Yeah, I think it was the first go at it. They were kind of in...
They overwatered it, didn't they?
Feeling in the dark a bit, and they didn't want everyone to go, this is dreadful. But yeah, they did overwater it. I saw Ryan Palmer, who's played it, you know, quite a lot of times being a Texan, did say it was a shame they'd watered the front of the greens, because he was hitting perfect shots from practice previously that were just collecting in, you know, in front of the greens rather than bounding on. So yeah, I think they might take a couple of goes before they get it right.
Yeah, I think the
but
setup,
generally I thought it was, you know,
yeah, I thought it was fine. I just with 23 under par winning,
they
should have been a little bit more penal and let the course play as Crenshaw envisioned
it.
I think
pandering to the players a bit.
Yeah, I think that was a problem last week. Got a good winner though in Aaron Wise.
Yeah.
Only 21 years old, but he's a he's a cocksure American, isn't he? He's confident in his own ability. I remember seeing an interview with him after he finished second behind Jason Day at the Wells Fargo Championship. And I'm not saying it, I don't want to say it was bordering on arrogant, but he has that inner belief.
Knows how good he is.
He knows how good he is. Yeah, and that, I mean, to win your first title with a total of 23 under par and play the final round in six under when the pressure's on.
What did he have? About six birdies in seven holes around the turn?
Yeah. Performance.
Went out and won it, didn't he, when he had some decent players waiting in the wings.
And Adrian Ortegi, a man that you've mentioned numerous occasions on this podcast. He won the Belgian knockout event. What did you make to that format? Because did enough happen in the first 2 days, do you think?
It was a bit like...
Or is it just all about waiting for the weekend?
What's that cycle thing where they go round and then they just wait until the sprint?
Oh, yeah, I know which one you mean. Yeah. And I forgot the name of it.
I have, yeah. Well, it's just sort of like killing time.
Begins
until...
with an O, doesn't it?
Yes.
Omnium or something like that.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, it's something like that. I know what you mean, though. So they're all just pedalling for 49 laps, then there's a sprint at the end, basically.
Yeah, I suppose people had to make the cut and not everyone made the cut. But there was a sense, maybe they could, again, tweak that format a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think you got a good winner. You got Cole Sarts representing the Belgian angle for a while, so I thought it was a good week, yeah.
On to this week then. BMW PGA Championship, latest betting here with William Hill, 7-1 Rory McIlroy. Tommy Fleetwood and Paul Casey and Alex Noren all 12-1. Brandon Grace is 14s. Francesco Molinari, 18-1. At 25-1, we've got Matthew Fitzpatrick, Shane Lowry, Ian Poulter. 28-1 for Paul Dunn and Tyrrell Hatton, and 33-1 and bigger the rest. You can use your super bet boost here with William Hill as well. So if you fancy a player, load your bet slip, and then you will have that super bet boost active for the BMW PGA Championship. You can get quite a big boost in price as well, so it's well worth having a look at that if you do fancy someone towards the not necessarily towards the head of the betting. You get a bigger price on any player in the field. And for those of you that aren't aware, Wentworth's West Course always hosts this championship. It's a par 72 measuring 7,284 yards, and the fairways wind between the trees of this. It's finely manicured, isn't it, the property in Surrey? And it does look to have been brilliantly prepared for this championship as well. Prior to last year, some players have been critical of the setup at Wentworth, but it underwent transformation prior to last year's championship. They changed a lot of the bunkering and softened some of the greens as well. And I think it was almost unanimously approved the changes they made prior to last year.
Yeah, they have been kind of meddling with it for quite a number of years, haven't they, in the past, and they took them a while to get the 18th right when they put water in front. And then there was a time, wasn't there, when it was almost impossible to hit into, so everyone was just laying up, and it just became like a par 3 of about 100 yards, so they needed to tweak that. But yeah, as you say, I think generally last year the comments were positive, and got that amazing finish, didn't we, with Alex Noren.
There was no laying up last year, was there,
no,
on that 72nd hole?
Absolutely not.
That was a wonderful iron shot into 18 to set up the eagle, and he won by two, swept through the field last year, Alex Noren.
It's kind of when he could do no wrong, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, he was fantastic. And he was making his 11th start at Wentworth when winning, and that's been an overriding theme at Wentworth, that course experience has been invaluable throughout the years. The exception to that rule
there is one exception,
Benny Arn,
who I will talk about later.
Okay. who won on his debut a few years ago. And looking through, in terms of the course and what the course requires for players to have success, what are the keys around Wentworth? What should punters be looking for this week, Dave?
I definitely think greens in regulation is a big stat there. I think when Benny Arn won, he topped that category. It's tree line, so you can't be too wild off the tee. You've got to get the ball in play, but get your angles right and approaches to the green as well. But I think I do look at the strong iron players. I do look at.
Yeah, I agree. And just to elaborate on what you mentioned about greens in regulation there, 7 of the last 12 winners ranked inside the top 15 for greens in regulation the
it's
week they won.
It's a reliable stat, isn't it, that one?
Yeah, and 6 of the top 10 last year were in inside the top 10 in greens in reg as well. And even though Alex Noren ranked 23rd in that stats, in that category, he did do all his damage on Sunday last year, Noren. I've got 3 picks, actually, this week. I quite like this event from a betting perspective.
Yeah, I could probably have about 10, but I'm going to limit it to 2. So if you've got 3, you can lead the way.
Okay, I'm going with Alexander Bjork as my first selection at 50-1. I'll throw a few quid on him each way. Despite the strength of the field, it is a stronger field than the one he beat in China on his most recent start. That was his last full stroke play start. He has played in the Golf Sixes since then with Joachim Lagergren without success, but he's got just the neat and tidy game required for the West Course. He ranks 27th on tour this season in strokes gained tee to green, 6th in strokes gained on the approach, which goes back to what you were saying about strong iron play being a prerequisite around Wentworth. And on his first start in this championship last season, he finished a more than respectable 14th, Alexander Bjork. And he's shown this season that he can handle this level of competition as well. He tied for 6th in the Dubai Desert Classic, which was a strong field. And I think there's still a chance that his ability is being underestimated to a certain extent. And I'm hoping that he can follow in the footsteps of his compatriot Alex Noren and take this title. So at 50-1, I think that's a pretty fair price on Alexander Bjork.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a good one. I've got a 50-1 shot as well.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah.
Is it Andrew Johnston?
No, I did look at him, to be fair.
Yeah.
His home course.
You mentioned him a few weeks ago to me, didn't you? I think we talked in passing about possible players that were on the radar.
Middlesex, of course, in Middlesex, which is his home course, very similar tree line. And obviously, he won at Valderrama tree lined. Mm. And there are good links from Valderrama to Wentworth. So you can see it being up his street.
And English players obviously have a terrific record in this
and
event.
And normally English players from the south as well who've maybe gone there. I think I did read a quote from Beef where he said he'd first gone there when he was about 7. So very much in the kind of part of his history.
I think they've asked the same question to all the English players because I've read quotes from Matt Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton who have said similar things, that they're inspired going back there because they used to watch their heroes growing up on
it's a big event.
To Wentworth. Okay, I've had one guess, so you can just reveal it now. That's it.
Kiridesh Afibarnrat.
All right, okay.
There's only, I think, half a dozen, maybe 7 players above him in the world rankings in this field. So, immediately you think, well, 50-1, that seems a fair price. As you said earlier, can take a bit of learning this course. Missed cut on his first 2 appearances. Got the hang of it. 2015, tied 27th. Next year, he was actually 6th at halfway, although he fell away, so it looks like he didn't have a great week. But 6th at halfway shows he was getting on top of it. And then top 15 last year for Afibarnrat. So I think he's slowly building a nice bank of form at this event. Tends to play well on these tree-lined English tracks. You look at his performances in the British Masters, last 3, 20th, 12th and 5th. Mm. Part of that's the suits his eye, maybe. Part of the reason, you often see players who do like playing in front of English or British crowds because they are very knowledgeable, they're very enthusiastic.
Just like the Crucible crowd.
British fans just come out and support events, don't they? They're just good at supporting stuff in all sports. Isn't it some daft stat that the championship in football get bigger crowds than... It's something like the 5th biggest in... It's silly.
Is that right? Yeah,
it's bigger than... It's amazing. Yeah, and that's the second tier, obviously.
Yeah.
So we just like going to sporting events. Yeah. So you always get a great atmosphere. Afibarnrat feeds off that. Obviously, he won in Scotland as well when he won the match play. Talking of which, the match play, he was 5th, wasn't he, in the Dell match play earlier this year. Also 5th in the WGC Mexico. So here's a guy, top 35 in the world. He's been 5th in 2 WGCs already this year. He won in Perth, Australia, the Super 6. So he's got a load of good form. Maybe just dipped a little bit, but he was 30th at the Players' Championship, and he finished with a 67 after three rounds of 71. So broke par all 4 days. So I thought that was nice. Maybe you can pick a couple of holes in his greens and reg stats, but what he does very well is scramble, a brilliant scrambler. Last two events, fourth in scrambling with nearly 77% up and down. That was at Sawgrass. Seventh in China. So, yeah, he'll miss a few greens maybe, but he can get out of trouble. Just got a really sort of wizardry little short game on him. And he knows how to win. So I think put it all together, I think 50-1 for the Barnrat is good going.
Like it. 50-1, Kiradek Api Barnrat. I'm going Hideto Tanihara.
Right.
As my second selection at 80-1. I like the Japanese for this, and it's become like a running joke because
always tip him there.
Yeah, I've tipped him a few times.
Have you ever not tipped him in this event?
He's only played here twice.
So
I didn't tip him last year, unfortunately. I don't think I did.
Really?
Anyway.
Were you off? You were skiing again as well?
Yeah, I think I was away last year for this podcast, I believe. But no, I wasn't away. I tipped Norman last year in this.
Oh, right.
And he won it, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, actually.
How could we forget, yeah.
Yeah. But I just think Tanihara has... He's 39 years old now, but he seems to have improved over the last year or so. And despite a miscut at the Volvo China Open, he has a couple of top 15s prior to that in India and in Spain. And he once finished fifth in an Open Championship, Tanihara.
At Hoylake, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2006. Yeah. Spot on. And he's just got a sharp short game and only had one start at Wentworth where he finished third last year. That was an exceptional effort, and I just fancy throwing a few quid at him at 80-1.
Yeah.
So Tanihara, my second selection.
It's a very much an Asian theme here, because I'm going to go for Benny Ahn as my...
As you hinted at earlier.
So we've a player from Thailand, a player from Japan, now one from Korea, Benny Ahn. When he came here for the first time, I think it said... he came through the Challenge Tour ranks. He said this was the one course he was really looking forward to playing, and wow, did he make a good fist of it first time. It won by six. So I think when you win this by six, that isn't it. You're going to come back here again and do something big again. You, in my view, anyway, you're not just that. Wasn't a freak. 33rd the year after when you're defending, not too bad. You've got all the extra pressures of defending. Tied 24th last year. So this is a course he's going to keep turning up and playing well. And I think this year it's time he got at the business end again.
Yep.
If you look at his form, it's kind of dotted, nice little dotted patches of nice form as you go through month by month. He was 6th in Dubai in January. Then he at the end of February, 5th in the Honda Classic. Decent at the Arnold Palmer in March. Then he was tied 7th at the Heritage, a tree line track in South Carolina. In April, so he's just consistently playing nice golf. 30th at the Players last time, but again, it was kind of nice stuff because broke par all four rounds, 70, 69, 70 is final 54 holes. So basically, I've always thought if he goes back to Wentworth in good enough form, I'm always going to look for him to do well. We're aware of him, aren't we? 33-1, but I think that is okay, to be honest. For you look at some of these other players, they've done quite well. He's won by six here before, so that raises him up a level in my opinion. So I think this is the year where he goes back there again and puts in another title bid.
Okay, 33-1 for Benny Ahn as Dave's second and final selection. I can't help myself, but I'm going to throw a few quid probably down the drain on Matteo Manassero this week.
Right. At 100, you nostalgic fool.
150-1 precisely. he won the title back in 2013. When he won that title in 2013, who'd have thought would be sitting here 5 years later waiting for another Matteo Manassero win? It was inconceivable at that moment, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
That he wouldn't have won again.
He is now, I'm just giving you, his world ranking now is 452.
Unbelievable, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this me being foolish, do you think?
Well, try and talk me round why. When he won, by the way, I'll just get, I've got that here. When he won, he was kind of a, I think fifth in the world or something.
He tried, I think, on the back of that performance, when he won there,
it took him to 28th in the world.
28th in the world when he won there.
Yeah.
He tinkered with his game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he tried to add length.
Yeah.
And it didn't work, and it's not worked. And then his putting was shot to pieces for a couple of years. He's just starting to hit a little bit of... There's been a glimmer of form from Manassero. His iron play has always been his strength, and his lack of distance isn't much of a weakness around Wentworth either. I'm hoping this return to Wentworth will inspire him this week. And you look through his last couple of starts, he's finished 20th in China and Sicily, obviously in weaker events than this, but you look through his stats for those two events, he struck the ball really well, and crucially in those two performances there's been an upturn in his putting, which had gone, as I mentioned, completely off the rails. He's 22nd on tour this season in strokes gained approach. That shows his iron play is still dialed in. I just think he might surprise a few this week and contend. So at 150-1, I'm going to have a point each way on Manassero as well. Maybe his heart ruling head here, but hopefully not.
You've made a good case. Statistics, not just saying, well, he did well there once, yeah, and he might get the smell of it in his nostrils again. And
there's just a glimmer of something from Manassero. Yeah, I mean, hopefully there's a chink of light at the end of the
tunnel. Back to back top 20s is decent enough, isn't it? And some of his form in a kind of wilderness years, it's kind of like 10 miscuts in a row. It really is gone, isn't it?
Yeah. But,
so to get back up a tie 20th with another one, he'll go there with a little spring in his step, won't he?
Hopefully, we'll see. So we've been through the selections. I tell you what, if there's one at the top of the betting that I really fancied, but he's been strong in the market, shall we say.
Right.
Alex Noren.
Yeah.
I think he's the man to beat this week. I really do. I think you look at his overall profile, he's won events twice before, hasn't he? He's won the European Masters twice. He's won the Nordea Masters twice. I don't think he'll have any fear going back there and defending. I don't think that's going to be a burden on his shoulders to a certain extent. And you look at the way he played at Sawgrass, I thought it was superb, marred by one bad round, and I don't think there's a better venue for Alex Noren than this one. I think he's got an absolutely superb chance. He's contended a few times on the PGA Tour this season already, and I still believe he's elevating his game each and every appearance. So I think 16-1 Alex Noren would have definitely been in the staking plan, but he's been very popular and he's into 12s, and that's the right price for me now.
See, my reservation there is, you pointed out he's won the same event twice, but with a few years in between.
That's true.
I think as a defending champion it's different.
Yeah.
Because he's got a lot of kind of extra curricular activity this week, and he is somebody who likes to keep focused, and
that's a fair point.
And I'm not sure
he got there early, didn't he?
I'm not sure he likes
to Wentworth.
Yeah, I'm not sure he likes it, the sort of hassle of it all.
Okay,
so it's just a slight fly in the ointment.
Yeah,
that, his record in defending might be a bit. Don't know.
Were you tempted by McIlroy? Were you tempted by Casey? Were you tempted by Fleetwood?
Not McIlroy, no. What's the quote? I think there's some quote from him himself, and he said, "I've got a strange relationship with Wentworth, because, you know, he's had some shockers there, hasn't he? But he's won it."
Yeah.
I just don't think he's playing well enough.
He won it in 2014 when they were
about to get married.
Yeah, all the off course.
Yeah.
Issues, and that was a bolt from the blue, wasn't it?
Yeah, you thought this wasn't his place. But then on another level, I did read an interview with him once where he said if he could play one course, a theoretical course, for the rest of his life, it would be tree-lined.
Right.
So he likes that kind of visual.
Okay.
Of seeing shots framed. But I just don't think... I didn't think he was playing well enough to challenge at Sawgrass, and he flopped there, didn't he? And I mean, he can turn it on at any moment, but I think the trend in his iron play has been not quite there for a while, hasn't it? So not for me.
Yep.
Casey, you can see going well. Mm. Fleetwood, I can see going really well. Even though Fleetwood hasn't got a brilliant record there, he's won before when he hasn't got a brilliant record on courses.
Yep.
So I can see, but we've collared him a bit.
I think that was the case at Le Golf National, wasn't it? I think when he won the French.
Yeah, I mean, he had no form at the Masters and he did well this year as well. Yeah. So he can quickly, and when he won in Abu Dhabi, he was terrible form there, and then he's won it back to back now. Grace, obviously, Brandon Grace played well with a 62, wasn't it, in Texas last week? So he come over, but he's short enough at 14. Molinari always plays well there, as does Shane Lowry.
Yeah. Happy with our picks, though.
So I'm happy with our picks.
I mean, we've got five on the board,
yeah,
haven't we?
Surely.
Yeah, surely one of them hits the target. Not well, maybe not. He hits the outer bullseye, even if not right.
Well,
the
let's
centre.
Go for the win. Come on.
Okay, let's move on because I'm aware we've rattled on about the. It is a big event, isn't it? The BMW PGA Championship. Let's get stuck into the Fort Worth Invitational. This is an event on the classic old school track, Colonial. It's a week for the purists. It's a belt of a course, this one. Measures just 7,200 and odd yards and plays to a par of 70 and course form down the years. In a similar way to Wentworth, has been crucial for this event. And if you're looking for the winner, maybe look for someone with a good bank of course form. Jordan Spieth is at the top of the market at 8-1. John Rahm is 14s. Webb Simpson 18-1. Ricky Fowler 18-1. Justin Rose 18-1. Patrick Cantlay is 22s. Jimmy Walker 25-1. Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, and Aaron Wise all 28s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. And just to go back to what we're saying about having a solid bank of course form, Kevin Kisner had exactly that going into the championship last year.
Yep.
He'd finished 5th and 10th and won last year and only recorded a total of 10 under par. It was windy last year. I don't think it's forecast to be
very
it's benign, isn't it, this year?
Absolutely, this year, yeah. Which could make a difference. Because normally birdies, they're not flying everywhere at all, but I think this time it could be one of the lower scoring Colonials.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're looking through the winners, the list of winners at this venue, it's easy to see the type of play you're looking for this week. Zach Johnson's won this title a couple of times.
Yeah.
And the supreme ball striker, Boo Weekly, won it in 2013 as well. Jordan Spieth's obviously at the top of the betting. He's got a tremendous record around Colonial.
Steve Stricker's won there, neat and tidy.
All about iron play, isn't it, really?
Yeah, David Toms, neat and tidy.
Yeah, so it's that type of player. It's just finding one at a good price, I suppose.
Yeah, and I like to think I have a view.
I've only got one pick, but I think I've got the winner. do you want to lead off here?
Yes, I'm going to lead off on a player who I was looking for various things. Driving accuracy, I think, is important this way. I don't normally pay a lot of attention to that as a rule, but it's one of the fewer courses on the PGA Tour where I think that's important. Obviously, it's a par 70, so par 4 scoring I looked at. Approach, I think, as well. Strokes gain approach.
Yeah.
I looked at scrambling as well. So I kind of had about five browsers open with all those categories on, and I kept looking at them, and you maybe scroll down the top 30, because even if you think, oh, he's only 30th, that's still in the top 20%, isn't it?
Just a quick question on this.
Yes.
You're using season-long stats.
Yes.
As it's
season long overall, but then you sort of drill down and check how they are recently.
Yeah,
as well.
I think that is crucial.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd much rather take, because, well, I might as well talk. It's a guy that I've not gone for, but Jason Duffner would be high on my list this week. And you look at his overall season statistics, and he comes out poor in a number of categories. But
if you
break it down to like his last six events or so, you can see that there's been an uptick in some of his statistical categories, which matters more to me than his overall season statistics.
Although,
if you know what I'm saying.
Although on the other hand, I don't sort of poo-poo the idea of looking at season-long statistics, because that gives you an overall feel of what the player is like, as you know. That's,
and I agree, I'd even look further back to the last two or three
seasons. Do they always do this?
Because you'll find that there'll be peaks and troughs, won't they, in performance. But someone like Jason Duffner is renowned as a fantastic ball striker. That ability doesn't just
vanish,
disappear. But he might be going through a downturn, and because of that, you could get a better price on a player that you think he's going to bounce back to his best form at some point.
Yeah.
Or his best ball striking form at some point.
Yeah. So either way, we can twist it how we like it, basically.
Yes, but yeah.
Yeah, overall, I did look at the season-long ones, and the player who kept popping up was Shay Reavy.
Don's house again.
Yeah, Don's house. So it was one of those ones. I had no idea what his colonial form was. I just can't recall him. You know, I've watched it enough, but I don't particularly think of him ever being. But I thought, I bet if I go and look back, he will have done something there. And
yeah,
lo and behold,
it's the sort of course for him.
Yeah, he's got
it?
Fifth and an 11th there. Once shot 62 on day one, so he can clearly go well. Last round there was a 66 last year, which was a nice finish. So it's the sort of course where he should do well. Those stats are saying that is a player who should go well there. Mm. Earlier this year, back-to-back second places at Phoenix and Pebble Beach, so he's been in some really good form. Just had a little bit of a dip, but he was 30th at Sawgrass and shot a pair of 69s on the weekend. I thought that was a good effort. So I thought, I was looking at him last week, but then he withdrew, or he never committed on the Monday morning. Maybe he was just thinking, I don't know about this course, this new Trinity Forest thingy. But I do know about Colonial. I'll kind of save myself for that.
Yeah.
So I think he's raring to go again this week. See, all those nice stats, and then I thought, oh, I bet Twitter have got hold of him and he'll be sort of, you know, be sort of a popular punt this week.
Or...
Yeah, and it'll be like, Then there he's at 80s. You can see the Reavy sort of angle, can't you?
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's someone who could have got collared by this stage. We're recording this sort of Tuesday, half two, so
yeah.
I just think 80-1. Another little factor this week is that it's going to be really, really hot. Sometimes we sort of don't really, unless it's sort of the other way and it's like blowing a hoolie, we go, oh, it's hot, whatever. But he lives in Phoenix, so he's used to heat, so that's just another little, that's fine then, no worries there.
Yeah,
so all in all, I think 80-1 is a good play on someone who has won. It was a while ago, but 2 second places this year. I think he's full of confidence.
I've got the winner this week.
Okay, you tell me the winner.
Adam Hadwin, I think wins this event. I'm going to 1.5 each way on him at 50-1. The early morning 66-1 disappeared, unfortunately. Actually, overnight he was 50s, then he was pushed out this morning to 66, and I thought, wow, having a bit of that. And then he's been clipped into 50s, but I think that's still fine. He was slightly disappointing at the Players' Championship, but I think he'll bounce back in a big way here. His long iron game is absolutely spot on. He ranks 26th on tour in strokes gained approach, and he usually makes ground on the field in that category week in, week out. And what I like most is the way he struck the ball off the tee at Sawgrass. He was really sharp in that area. That can sometimes be his Achilles heel, but he ranked 5th in strokes gained off the tee at Sawgrass. Picked up over 3 strokes on the field. And prior to that performance at Sawgrass, he'd been 16th at the Wells Fargo, 24th at the Masters, 2 very solid finishers. And this course just appears to fit his game perfectly. And we have evidence of that too. He finished 5th on debut and followed that with a 24th placed finish a couple of seasons ago. Didn't play as well last year in this event. He just looks an absolutely cracking bet to my eye at 50-1. So I'm going to go 1.5 each way on Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, so we've sort of both gone for players who've got a top 5 under their belt at the course. And I think on this particular layout, I think that does count for plenty, because it is one of those ones where you see the same players go back and do well.
Agree. Jason Duffner was the other one that I've not quite pulled the trigger on. He's 33-1, but I do think he will go well this week, Jason Duffner. I just can't quite trust the putting. But
well, it's changed his stroke, hasn't it?
And I think he ranked inside the top 10 in strokes gained putting at Sawgrass.
Yeah.
Which is
it's sort of like further away from his body. Yeah. It's definitely looks
phenomenal
different
for him.
Yeah.
But I think he'll go very well this week. He's 33-1, yeah. Jason Duffner. He's got a couple of runner-up finishes. He's played it, I think, 10 times, maybe even more than that. He's finished runner-up a couple of occasions and has another tie for 16. It's been either feast or famine for him here.
Yeah.
And it could be feast this year.
Hopefully, yeah. And we'll no doubt be told 50 times what a hilarious guy he is on the commentary.
No doubt.
I mean, I'm sure he is, but I'm sure there are other funny players, aren't there?
who was closest for you?
Well, two sort of obvious names, Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar. Zach Johnson is always sort of that price, isn't he? 33s, 35s or something like that. Kuchar is interesting because if he was in good nick, he'd be around 20s, wouldn't he? And you'd be going, oh, awful price again. But do you think 33s, it's out to respectability price?
Yeah, he was one of those that was...
he's got such good course form.
He was... outspoken in his criticism of Trinity Forest,
in his own sweet way,
but he didn't like the setup at all last week, did he?
Yeah, so you can totally ignore that. I mean, he did show 69 in round two, so it was hardly a disaster for him. But he said something like
69 in that the way the scoring was last week. You're backpedaling, aren't you?
He said something like, "If you've got nothing positive to say, don't say anything." That was his line, wasn't it? It wasn't for him last week, and this course is for him, so he could do all right. At 33. Bryson DeChambeau likes this sort of test if you look at his form on correlating courses.
What do you think to Jordan Spieth?
Well, on those stats I mentioned before about strokes gain approach, par 4, he's brilliant. He's top 10 in everything I looked at.
Yeah.
It's just that putting, isn't it? And it's still weird.
You won't find a player with better course form, will you?
He keeps telling us, oh, it's much better. I don't know. Do you believe golfers when they speak all the time?
Well, I think
they've got to sort of convince themselves, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they go see sports psychologists.
Yeah.
Sports psychologists
say,
be positive all the time.
But he, you know, you look back, he has called it right when he has played well, but I think he's also called it wrong. You know, if he believed him, he'd be playing brilliantly every single week.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything, if he won, it'd be no surprise, would it, at all?
And weirdly, John Rahm, you wouldn't think this was a
yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Great
runner up
for him
last year.
But that was some performances. If he'd have putted better down the stretch, he'd have won the event last year. And you look through, he's got like a quirky profile because the event in Mexico when he was second in the match play behind Dustin Johnson, that's one of those like tight, quirky tree line courses as well, so
yeah, he's not quite what you think, is he? Sometimes
no, and
when he was favourite to win the career builder at the start of the year, I just thought, well, he's favourite just because he's called John Rahm, and then he won that, and I couldn't quite see where that was coming from.
Yeah,
so yeah, you've got to respect him, and you could say 14s if you just blindly back him at 14s every start, you'd do all right, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and we were talking off air about Webb Simpson as well.
Yeah,
18-1 when this is the perfect fit for Webb.
Yeah, third and fifth the last 2 years, coming off a brilliant win at Sawgrass, which ended a victory drought. Yeah, he's got to be full of it. Fowler and Rose, 18s.
Yeah, it's weird thinking you'd back Webb Simpson over Ricky Fowler and Justin Rose when they're all the same price, and that's why you can't back Webb Simpson, I think, this week.
Yeah,
in many ways.
Means.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In terms of the prices, Fowler, I think Fowler might go okay. I'd prefer Fowler over Rose this week, personally.
Especially now you've said Rose is sort of.
This is definitely one that he's added to his schedule because he's got to add one to his schedule.
Yeah. Chess and Hadley seems to play well every week at the minute. I think he could go well.
40-1.
Yeah. Quite a lot you could give a chance to, really. Who knows? Stricker might finish something like seventh.
Yeah, could see that.
Chris Kirk's got a good record. He's a former winner here. He's got some good stats. Mm. It's kind of no one likes him. Well, no one sort of. He's just
not,
an unsexy golfer,
week,
isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just sort of. People don't get excited about him, but 66 could be big.
Let's recap then. Let's wrap up here and go through our selections for the week, of which we've got 4-7 in total, I think. Over the two events, we'll start off with Wentworth. Dave, give us your two picks for Wentworth.
Yeah, I'm going to go a point each way on both Kiridesh Afibarnrat at 50s and Benihan at 33s.
I'm going to go a point each way, Alexander Bjork at 50-1, Hideto Tanihara at 80-1, and Mateo Manassero at 150-1. And in the event in Texas, I'm going 1.5 points each way. Adam Hadwin is my best bet this week at 50-1.
Right, 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5. Yeah, fancy.
Yeah, and go a point each way. Shea Reavy at 80-1 at Colonial.
And the player you don't want to win, have you got one? We've been to about 50 odd golfers in both events, haven't we?
It's as simple as it's probably Spieth.
Yeah, I'd say Jason Duffner came closest away from the guys that I've gone for, so I'd have to go with him. Do make sure you follow us on Twitter at @dkellner and at @DaveTyndallGolf for the Twitter handles. I do hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and myself and Dave will be back to talk more golf next week. Make sure you check out William Hill's Super Bet Boost on the PGA Championship this week. And if you're having a bet on the golf, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.